The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Greg, thank you. 5:07 on the Central Coast. It is Thursday, December 1st, 2022. I'm Dave Congleton. Conservative Bob joins us in about an hour. I said, Bob, what are we going to talk about? He wants to talk about music. He wants to talk about Fleetwood Mac, the death, obviously, of Christy McVie. And we'll follow Bob. No matter what the topic, Bob is very articulate and opinionated. Always good to have him on the show. This hour, let me set up the conversation this way. I have been hearing from a lot of you this week. We had Karen Vealey on earlier in the week talking about the delay in voting and what's happening with the county clerk recorder's office. Then yesterday, the county clerk recorder's office sent out a press release saying that there would be no count this week and we wouldn't have another count until next Wednesday. I remind you that we still don't know who the new county supervisor is going to be. I remind you that there are still some school board races in the county that are too close to call. There's still a lot at stake here for an election that took place on November 8th. And if you haven't seen New Times yet, I would encourage you to do so. Reporter Peter Johnson interviewed Tommy Gong, our former county clerk recorder, who has some, I thought, pretty interesting insights about what's happening in this county. Just a long way around of saying that I want to keep the conversation going. Always good to be in conversation with attorney Mike Nolan, who's been following these issues carefully. He joins us now. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Thanks for joining us, sir.
Good to be here.
Thank you. I guess I would start by saying this is by no means... I just want to say I've been hearing from people, and the word... The theme seems to be frustrated. They're frustrated and they're confused. They're frustrated because we don't know election results yet in key elections, and they're confused because we don't know why this is happening. You've gathered some stats. Where does Slo County compared with other counties in California at this point in terms of counting the November election results?
Well, the Secretary of State has a list of unprocessed ballots statewide, as reported by each county. And San Luis Obispo has something, it reports an estimated 9,872 ballots that are still unprocessed. Now, that's as of their report was November 23rd. And if you read the Secretary of State, they expect the county to update those numbers every day. But San Luis hasn't done that. And what's happened is that that's the highest number of ballots outstanding, except for three other counties. I mean, Los Angeles only has 11,000, and there's 12,000 estimated in Sacramento County, and there's another in Lake County. What's going on there, I'm not sure. But most of the other counties have reported, have finished their count of unprocessed ballots. And what's difficult about this is that if the count resumes December 7th, the county clerk recorder must certify the results the next day. According to the Secretary of State, they have until December 8th to certify the results. But at the same time, if there is a vote by mail ballot with a signature that's invalid, or they also report 60 ballots that have been damaged maybe by the computer or something, and they can't have been segregated for some reason. The voter is supposed to have 2 days to cure that problem. And if you're counting a ballot on the 7th and you're going to certify the results on the 8th, that sure cuts off those people's ability to fix any problems that might arise.
Could the county clerk recorder get an extension?
I don't think so, because the Secretary of State has her own deadline. It, you know, this is a statewide election, and I don't think it would take. Well, she, I, Usually the way you could do that is to appeal to the Secretary of State for an extension because of unforeseen circumstances. But to, just to say, yeah, no, we stopped counting on December 1st. We stopped counting for a week. You know, that's actually contrary to what the Elections Code says. The Election Code says you have to keep counting until you certify the results, Saturdays and Sundays excepted, and I'm sure Veterans Day, holidays. But the reason for that, well, there's a number of reasons why that process continues. What it tells me is that the staff is overworked, and her other counties have an ability to hire people and have a staff that's able to process these, and for some reason they can't do it. And that's a real problem.
Well, there are a couple things that spin off of that, Mike. One, and this goes to the New Times article, is that there seems to be a shortage of workers for the county clerk recorder's office. And the other part of it is I have been told that workers are still allowed to work at home, and that's been part of the problem.
No, really, I'm not. the people counting the ballots are supposed to do it, again, by law, in the view of members of the public.
And I'm sure they are. I'm not trying to imply that they're counting ballots at home.
No, but if they're working at home checking signatures, I don't know what they're doing. I hope it's not. It's another strange case out of my home county. That's all I can say.
Well, and then the other part of it is, according to the press release that the county clerk recorder sent out, one of the reasons for the slowdown is the number of ballots that need to be cured, meaning they have signatures that have validity questions, as you were explaining earlier, and it takes time to validate all those signatures.
Right, but you know that there's no reason why that is especially problematic for San Luis Obispo County. There are 58 counties in California, and you would think that other counties, such as Los Angeles, would have bigger. If San Luis is having this problem, the other counties would have bigger problems. But no, there's a very, considering that a third of the state lives in Los Angeles County, and they only have as many unprocessed ballots as San Luis Obispo, is a red flag for me. That just pops up.
Wow. And then, well, this week, for example, there's been no vote counting.
Yeah, it reminds me of a time when I was working in the elections office in 1974, and they still had a paper ballot voting precinct in Shandon. And the I remember that night, got to bring the returns in, and there were no returns. The inspector of the polling place was supposed to drive the returns into, the county headquarters. And the result was Ms. Beth Wallum was the county clerk. She sent the sheriff out, and what had happened is the board got too tired to count any more votes. So there was a rumor someone had spiked the punch that they were having. It was a long day. They got too tired, and they decided they were going to go home and get some sleep because they were exhausted. And Ms. Beth Wallum had the sheriff rouse the inspector out of bed, and those ballots got to San Luis Obispo Courthouse about 4 o'clock in the morning. That's the point was that if you're tired, if there people are exhausted, if there's, you have to get replacements. You just can't say no. We've worked too hard. We have to take the next week off.
Well, answer this then, Mike Nolan. On the Stolberg line, listener writes: although everyone is ravenous for results, the election isn't over until it's certified. As I understand it, the results will be certified in 1 week. I don't understand what the concern is. What is the concern?
Well, the concern goes down to this. I remember reading the mayor of Chicago, Richard J. Daley, and the Democratic machine there. And Daley was the elections official before he got elected mayor. And it's attributed to him line that says, it's not whether you win or lose, it's who keeps score that counts. And what we want is just in the same way we expect candidates to follow the law. It's vitally important that the people counting the votes follow the elections code. Right. And here they're clearly not doing it.
Mike Nolan on this broadcast. We'll come back and continue our conversation. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. KVC News Talk time is now 5:20. Dave Congleton in conversation with attorney Mike Nolan, taking a look at what's happening with the county clerk recorder's office and why some people are concerned and why some people are frustrated. As we continue with Mr. Nolan, let me bring in Colleen Martin into the conversation. Of course, Colleen is a longtime member of the Lucia Marr School Board, and she's one of the people. Well, let's hear from her directly. Anyway, Colleen, good afternoon.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
We're good, Colleen. Thanks for joining the conversation. So what's your take on this whole situation?
Well, my take, and if you read the New Times article about Tommy Gong, I think everyone in the county needs to agree that we need to fund our county clerk recorder with more budget. One of the problems and constraints of this counting situation is they have a very small space that was created way before all these mail-in ballots. And so you have to have a secure place. It's not like they're running over to the Fremont and setting up shop. You know, they have to have a secure place where they're doing these signature verifications. And so obviously they need a bigger spot is what I'm thinking. I've called the county clerk a couple of times, and the days they're not counting, when they say they're counting, that's the day they're actually putting the flat ballots in the machine. But prior to that, they're spending many days opening envelopes, verifying signatures, flattening out. It's a two-page ballot, so that takes a little bit longer, but mostly verifying signatures. Well, I was frustrated yesterday, feeling like there wasn't a sense of urgency. And when I called there and then saw the Tribune press release, they mentioned that there was 950 ballots need curing. And, of course, we want every voter to have opportunity to cure their ballot.
Sure.
And to make everything right. And I will be the first one to say, hallelujah, let's do that. I want everyone to vote who can vote. I will tell you, I've run for office many times and worked on lots of campaigns, and I've been back there as an observer during the write-in Jim Hill campaign that we won in Aurora Grande. And it's a tight spot, and I think the clerk is contending with a lot of people who want to, quote, observe, which we saw in June prior to the primary of Jimmy Paulding Lynn Compton, you know, that there was a lot of observers in the room, which is also just taking up a lot of space, too. So I do think space is something to consider. And reading the article today from Tommy Gong, it sounded like the staff shouldn't have to be always working at this breakneck pace. I know when I talked to my liaison there that I talked to in elections, she's been working overtime since January, and she's not the clerk recorder. They've been working a ton of overtime all year, whether it's been the attempted recall at Lucia Marr, whether it's the new special election that might occur up in the Paso Unified School District, whether it was the recount for Jimmy Paulding. I mean, they have been working a lot.
All right, hang on with us, Colleen, please. All right, so, Mike, more staff, bigger space.
Well, I think you're right. It has to, you have to have enough people to count the votes as quickly as possible. And you have to, the county, one of the problems we have is that we put all the elections onto one ballot. So we have governor all the way down to the school district. Back in the 70s and 80s, school district elections were in April of even-numbered years, and you had other elections at different times. So the ballot was shorter, and it was easier to count.
Well, so many more people counted, voted at the polls, and those are instantaneous. So those happen really quickly.
You're right.
Yeah. So Colleen, what's happening with the school board races in Lucia Mar, since some of those races aren't determined yet?
Let me just tell you some of the... first off, there used to be, as far back as 2016, where the county clerk recorder would post what's called the status of the canvass. And they would say, oh, there's 2,000 ballots left in Bruce versus Bruce territory.
Yeah.
There's 300 ballots left in the San Luis Coastal territory. Like, so you could at least make an educated guess better than right now, having almost 10,000 ballots out there. So this week is the annual California School Board Association Conference in San Diego, which many school districts go to. San Luis Coastal does, Paso, Lucia Mar. And the day before is the new board member training. So we were all registered to go, and then we all canceled. Because some of the school board races are really tight this year because most of the districts went to these at trustee area voting. So where they once had maybe as many as 17,000 voters, they're now shrunk down to 7,000 voters. So every vote makes it very tight. So we have at least two races that we really couldn't call. And beyond not calling them, if we were to take someone who ultimately lost and paid for registration fees for a conference, hotel, meals, whatever, that would be a gift of public funds.
Yep.
So it's too bad. I understand wanting to cure every vote, and I'm right there 100%. But it's just, I know the city of Rio Grande and Lucia Mar, we have the same date, December 13th, to be swearing in our new people. And if we don't know who they are till the 8th, that gives us very little time to do any orientation prior to our swearing in.
Right.
And our swearing in has to do with usually how much distance from the election day.
All right, Colleen, I've got the news break coming up. Thank you for checking in with us. Colleen Martin from the Lucia Mar School Board. I've got, Michael, about 45 seconds for you to respond to what Colleen said.
Well, I know some districts, when there's a close election, they send both candidates to the orientation. And they're just realizing that one or the other, it's better to have one or the other there than not to be oriented at all.
Let us do this as we keep going with Attorney Mike Nolan. We're off to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather Together. We'll keep the conversation going with Mike as we talk about what's happening with the County Clerk Recorder's Office and as we wait for the results of the recent election and also the story in New Times today about Tommy Gong. All that straight ahead on the Thursday edition of the Dave Congleton Show. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. Mike Nolan, attorney at law, joins us as we talk about this ongoing, shall we say, concern by some of you that we still don't have some of the results yet. We just heard from Colleen Martin from the Lucia Mar School Board, sharing her own experiences and her own thoughts about the process. And Mike, before we start taking calls, I just want to make it clear, I'm not trying to speak for you, but I am not trying to criticize the county clerk recorder because I don't understand the full process myself. I'm giving a platform for people to share their questions and concerns. Early in the week, we did a segment. A lot of people are attacking the county clerk recorder, but listening to you and listening to Colleen Martin, it seems like we're understaffed and underspaced, and that's what's contributing to the problem.
Well, I think that's the point, is that the county's gotten bigger, but the area that and the elections have gotten more complicated. And I want to make sure as I understand it, when people say, well, they stopped counting the votes, it makes it sound like they're not working there anymore. But if they're processing the votes, I wish they had said that and made that clear, or that they had finished processing. I'm just looking at what the county clerk recorder sent to the Secretary of State, and that's just a large number of unprocessed ballots a week ago. And I hope in the last 7 days that they've rectified that, but I don't know. And this is the one of the problems we have is that it's not. I remember the movie Citizen Kane, where the Kane runs for governor, and he on election night he's getting defeated by a landslide, and his publisher, his editors show up two mock-ups for their front page of their newspaper, and one says Kane elected, and the other says fraud at polls, and. You know, disparaging election, losing an election, and claiming that it's been stolen is a long practice in American democracy. And in San Luis Obispo County, the first Walter Murray raised that issue in 1855 when he was defeated for the state assembly by something like 12 votes, and contested the election and claimed that there was fraud in the. Back then, the precinct in the coast from what is now Cambria and Morro Bay, that there was fraud there, and he made his case, and he thought it was he was sure he wanted to subpoena about half of the voters at that time, and if you read his letters, he was firmly convinced that he was defeated unfairly, that there was fraudulent election stuff, and that there was errors in counting the votes. Boils down to, does it make a difference? You know, technical errors don't destroy an election. Technical errors, and a lot of people, a lot of people get this idea of. That elections are run like American football rules, where everything's a technical. The referees are on top of every play, and it's much more like soccer, where no harm, no foul, just keep it going. Just try to pull the votes in, and if you want to overturn an election, you have to show that there was actually. Something made a difference.
Mike Nolan on this broadcast, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832 on the Stolberg line. This kind of goes to what Colin Martin was talking about. Why don't they rent a temporary secure space that is large enough to get the job done? What about that, Mike?
Yeah, I would. I think part of the problem is, yes, they should have a big enough space to do that. And I think that I was reading Tommy Gong's article, and he recognized that a lot of the rules changed in the 2020 election, but it didn't seem that they got bigger spaces or more people to respond to those rule changes. He thought it was a good thing, but you do need more people, it seems.
Secondly, on the Stolberg line, as I understand it, what's changing the election process is the number of mail-in ballots, which obviously take longer to count.
Yes, because they have to check everybody's signature. When you voted at the precinct place, you just signed in and nobody checked your signature. It was on record, on file, but you just signed in. Now every voter's signature, and you say, well, is this the signature? Does it match the one on file? Is it close enough? That's the problem now.
805-543-8830, number three on the Stolberg line, comes back to what you were saying earlier. Why are we one of the last four counties to process our votes? Is it because of the space and staff issues?
It could very well be. I don't think it's a I sincerely doubt malicious intent, but and I do believe they're doing the best they can. They're hardworking, honest people, and but you don't want to see them overwhelmed. And if people get tired and they're looking at signatures, they tend to make mistakes. And that's the that's why you need more eyes on the event.
But what are the chances of more eyes being hired and the County Board of Supervisors spending more money?
Well, they should. Well, it's too late for this election,
yeah.
But they should really look at the upcoming elections, because the problems will just get more difficult. Reading Mr. Gong's article is, you know, he's happy he's in Contra Costa County and he's working well. All the counties there are working well together, but they all tend to be, you know, dominated by one political party. San Luis Obispo is a county that is split. Half red, half blue, and you're always going to have a contentious election there for the foreseeable future. Democrats can win and the Republicans can win, and it's the people are going to fight. And why do we fight about elections? Well, your earlier discussion about the water basin in San Luis Obispo County and the ordinances. Elections have consequences, and there's winners and losers. And people don't want to be on the losing side, and so they fight very hard to win those elections.
All right, let's take another call. We've got Bob on KVEC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Bob.
Mike, is it not state law that the mail-in ballots are not to be counted prior to the election date itself?
That's correct. Now, they can be processed in a way. They can be processed, and that means check the signatures, things like that. But they can't be opened and run in until after 8 o'clock p.m. on election day.
Why do you think that is?
I think that the one party could gain an advantage of knowing how the election was going, you know, how whether we're ahead or behind. The idea of having multiple days of voting at vote centers in the state, you know. So I think there's 4 days you can election. There's just election season now. Well, that's not necessarily new. They had multiple day voting in New York in the 18th century. And when you read about the history of New York, but what happened is they'd have 3 days of voting. After 2 days, one side would know that they're losing and then get their voters to the polls and another side that thought that they were winning, because they'd be counting the votes on those other days,
right,
would say, where'd all these votes come from?
Hmm.
So the reform was just, well, we're going to do it in one day.
Bob, what else?
Well, it makes sense, but I would think that given the snafus, especially now that California has gone to almost exclusive mail-in ballots, that the clerk recorder's offices in the various counties should be able to count the votes, to tabulate them, but not publish the results until the 8 p.m. cutoff time on the election day itself. Wouldn't that solve the problem, both of giving an advantage potentially to one party or the other, and also solve the problem of waiting days and days and days after an election for the results to be published?
Well, that rule maybe makes sense in San Luis Obispo, but the history, election histories in other places like San Francisco and Los Angeles, would people would be afraid that those numbers would maybe not published, but they would leak out to the to the political parties.
Yep. All right, Bob, thank you very much for calling in. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832 for attorney Mike Nolan. Oh, we got another attorney. Here is Stu Jenkins checking in. Stu, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Dave, Mike. How are you?
We're good. How are you, sir?
Good, good. I think the real difficulty here is that there actually are larger spaces right in the county building that have been used in the past for counting ballots by previous clerk recorders, and basically they would move a lot of the equipment over to some of the large conference rooms and secure them. I think there was actually a rule change here for the last election cycle that allowed the counting of ballots to start 10 days prior to the election day, but they couldn't be reported, and that kind of met one of the problems. That's why you had a large number of mail-in ballots that were reported out at 8 p.m. on election day, but there were, you know, a tremendous number that still had to be counted. And of course, a tremendous number that came in. And I think Steve Kornacki now describes California as not having an election day, but having an election season.
Hmm. I like that.
There's the ballots can be voted the day they're mailed out, and that's 29 days before the election day, and then people can be bringing them in that whole month, and then there's anything that is postmarked by election day, it can be received for another 7 days and has to be verified and counted. And certain ballots, like military ballots, can actually be received 10 days after the election day, as long as they were voted before the election day.
Mike,
from overseas.
Mike, comment, please.
Well, yeah, part of the process, and a lot of people have become interested in the counting of votes have never been interested in the election process before. And it's been going on for a couple hundred years in the United States. And there's I was reading Abraham Lincoln. You know, he sent out a confidential letter to all the Whigs in Illinois. Said, "This is how we win the election. Find out who the voters are. Find out who the Whigs are, and get them to the polls on election day. And find out who's undecided, and pester those people, and convince them to vote for William Henry Harrison over that corrupt Martin Van Buren."
Yeah. Well, so, yeah. Stu, what else?
Elections. Well, elections are just getting your votes out.
Yeah, Stu.
Yeah, I think the key thing is that in processing and counting the ballots, it's really, really important, particularly in this environment, to make sure that everything not only is done right, but appears to be done right and is done totally in public. And that seems to be the flaw in the current administration at the elections office. The discovery of over 300 new ballots that hadn't been reported, these are ballots that suddenly just appeared, I understand that they appeared after all the observers were required to leave the building, and those are the kinds of things that raise suspicions by people. And then it's taken so long when the statute says that the counting will happen continuously day by day, except for Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays, and we have all these gaps in the counting going on. And the the canvassing of the votes that have come in. And so we're actually, in this county, we're going to not have the election certified until the very last legal day, which is the 8th. Or at least that's what I've read in the press. But you know, we've got elections that are so close in a number of jurisdictions that there's a high probability of people asking for recounts. And, you know, the Election Code 15620 provides that any voter can request a recount. Obviously, they end up perhaps having to pay for it 5 days after the vote is, the full canvas is certified. And that's either going to be on the evening of the 12th, that'll be the deadline for people to ask for recounts, or it'll be on the 13th, depending on when the clerk recorder signs the certification.
All right, Stu, thanks for checking in. Mike, address the notion of recounts, please.
Well, there are, the existence of recounts is evidence that elections have never been considered perfect. The idea that sometimes you have to go back and count the votes by hand, and you'll find an error of 1, 2, 3, maybe a dozen votes, and that can tip an election. And I would think that if some race is that close, you could expect that to happen.
Right.
I think there was an election where they actually, for supervisor in the North County, around 100 years ago, they actually tied. They had to draw cards to see who got the seat.
All right, let's go to Mark on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
I think perception is reality for people. I think the vote's appearing, and I think it just appears like there's a lack of organization. Hopefully, she'll learn from the mistakes that have been made. But, Mike, what I really appreciate you bringing out was the historical fact that people have been calling fraud in elections in America ever since we started voting. And I think people, you know, I think it's a new concept that they're, you know, contesting elections and calling people names. I think if you read about some of our earlier presidents in the press, I think you'd see some of the stuff today would be considered minor. And I just think it's good to bring that out. This is nothing new for America. So I appreciate that. So anyway, thank you. I appreciate the show tonight. I really do.
Mark, stay with us. Mike, what do you say?
Well, it's true. San Luis Obispo County had the closest congressional election in 1877, where the Romualdo Pacheco won by one vote on election day.
But oh,
the loser went to Congress and said, no, I won. And so the Congress sat him and expelled Pacheco after a few months. Pacheco later got elected for a full term, but there you just have people contest elections all the time. It's like American pie.
Yeah. Mark, anything else you want to say?
Well, I think the media today magnifies everything, and we also have people with short attention span, and people don't know their history or they just don't seem to study it like they used to. So, you know, this all seems like a new thing hitting America and a new danger, but it's just been with us. And anyway, I really appreciated that, Mike. Thank you. It's a great show tonight.
All right, Mark, thanks for being part of it. We'll come back and wrap things up with Mr. Mike Nolan. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to KVEC. Whereas we wrap things up with Mike Nolan, Mike, I think we can agree that it sounds like the county needs to come up with more staff for our election crew. Some larger spaces might also be helpful. Anything else we need?
Yeah, we talk about free elections, but that's for the voter. But there's no such thing as a free lunch, and you have to pay, the county has to pay the money to fund the elections office so that it can do a better job. That's do a job that makes people happy, that they know that things are going right.
I would also encourage folks to read the new issue of New Times and the article by Peter Johnson, where he tracked down Tommy Gong, now doing quite well up in Contra County, and his thoughts about what is going on down here in Slo County. I think he echoes what we were just talking about, the need for a bigger staff.
Yeah, I think so. That's very, very true.
All right. Mr. Nolan, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Dave.
All right, sir. Off we go. We've got ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with Time Saver Traffic and Weather together. We spend the final hour with the one, the only, Conservative Bob. Stick around. This is Hometown Radio.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.